We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Podcast. I'm your host, Carla Navas.
And with me today,
producer and co-founder Brian Goins.
How's it going? This is like the old days. This is basically what we started out doing when, 2014? 13?
I was going to say, this is a throw. Well, our first pod ever, and I guess we're doing our second consecutive show of MHB history, was the game after LeBron's game winner against Indiana. So that buzzer beater in the playoffs in game one of, I think it was 2013, right? So yeah, this is a throwback.
When they won their last title.
This is a throwback. Brian and I are across the state. We are at opposite ends of Florida. Well, I guess Brian's in the middle of Florida. I'm at the tip of Florida. So, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. But we're here. We're bringing you. Siobhan's going to join us later. She's running a little late. And we're here to talk Heat. There's a stretch run, Brian. They have 10 games left in this season. And I just
want to go to the fucking playoffs already. These regular season games, holy shit, man.
I mean, if they make it to the playoffs, by God.
That's true.
Like, they, you know, and I think we've talked about this a lot on Hangover Time, and we talked about it on the locker room session today, which, by the way, if you're not joining those, they're a lot of fun. We usually do them after game days. They're around 10 a.m. You download the locker room app. There's now an Android app. So if you go to Room's Twitter page, yeah, there's an Android app now with a few of couple Heat Twitter folk joined us from their Android app on the locker room, and it was a lot of fun. We talked to Heat fans. We could just have a conversation about like how they feel about the team. And it's like a super informal setting. So join us on those. And if you miss those because they're at a time that you can't make it and you want to listen back, join our Patreon, patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat, and you can find all the episodes there. Sometimes we upload them to the main feed, but we just don't want to clutter it. I mean, we are uploading almost every day, pretty much every day. So. We don't want to clutter it more, so we just kind of stuff that in the Patreon. So if you guys want a little bit extra, you can find it there. Also, shout out to our YouTube audience. I know we don't talk directly to y'all a lot, but I want to know that we appreciate you. We love you. Like and subscribe. Our viewers are constantly outdoing our sub count, which is funny, and a lot of it's the same people. So, you know, if you can help us out, hit that subscribe button. It really helps out our algorithm and our metrics so we can reach more people. And it really does make a difference. If you're on Twitch, hit that follow button. If you are so kind, shoot us a subscribe. If you have Amazon Prime, you know, you get a free subscription with Amazon Prime. So I'm going to drop that link in chat.
I was going to do it for you, but okay.
There you go. Yeah, look at that. We're moving. We have synergized. So give us a Prime sub. It's free. Amazon picks up the tab and gives us a little money, and that helps us keep the lights on. So we appreciate and love y'all. Brian,
yeah,
their stretch run here. Is It's pretty easy. They have, out of the teams that they're fighting for, them and the Celtics have the easiest schedule left in terms of strength of schedule. They play tomorrow against the Spurs. Then they play Cleveland on Saturday, so they get 2 days of rest. Then they play a back-to-back against the Hornets on Sunday. It's going to be a big game. Then you get 2 days rest, Mavericks. Then you get 4 days rest or 3 days rest, Timberwolves. Then you get the Celtics. Then you get the Celtics again. So those two, and those, they're not, none of these are back to backs. So those two games against the Celtics are just mammoth because they're fighting for, you know, that fifth seed, presumably. And then you have the Sixers, the Bucks, and then you have the Pistons. And the Sixers and the Bucks are likely going to be locked into their seeding at that point. So they might not even play their starters. So, Brian,
yeah,
like, are you confident that they're going to get to five? Because, like, I'm not even talking about four at this point. I'm like, can they get to five?
They can do it. It's gonna.
Are you confident?
Am I confident? I mean, I might have to put a percentage on it now. I'd say like 60% confident that they can get there. It really depends on. It really depends on them being able to shoot again. I think the defense will be all right. I'm really concerned about like just the shooting again. Like it seemed like they, like the last pod I was on, I was raving about Tyler Hero coming alive, Trevor Ariza, obviously Duncan. And then all of a sudden, like we're kind of back to where we started, it kind of happened because of the injuries. Obviously, like the last two games, we were without Tyler, still without Victor, and then you know a lot of the bench guys weren't even playing last night's game against the Bulls. So it's really unfortunate because I think the team looks more like itself when all the pieces are there, and when they're not, especially the bench unit, you kind of see where. We struggle the most, which is on offense. Like Gorai couldn't even like beat Vucevic on a drop.
That was the most concerning thing. Yeah, dude, that shit was like I couldn't fucking believe what I was watching. Smita Smoldek very appropriately says in chat, is getting a root canal more fun than having to cover this team?
Let me tell
you, Brian's been absent. Brian, how you haven't been here? Did you did you miss it or what?
I miss you guys. I don't miss this team.
I miss the
2020 Miami Heat is what I tweeted out last night.
I don't. You know what's funny that I didn't even believe in that team. I like legit did not.
Oh yeah, there's definitely pods. If you can go back to probably like February before the pandemic started. Yeah, there were pods where you were shitting on this team.
Alf was so mad. Alf wasn't even at Miami Heat Beat at the time. Alf was still at Five Reasons. And Alf was just like, I'm fucking sick of talking. Because, you know, we're all friends still. Like, mm-hmm. Alf was like, I'm fucking sick of talking to you about this team. You're miserable. You just think they're bad. And I remember Leif was sick of me, too. Leif was still here. And he was like,
sick of you because you were still a big Raptors fan. I think you're less of it now.
I mean, I don't tweet about it because I got bullied off.
Well, you were
off
more of a Raptors fan then because obviously they're defending their title. And you thought. I mean, they had a really good season last year. You know, they're second in the conference. And this year, they're obviously not going to make the playoffs. But I feel like there was a switch, especially during the bubble. Like, once they started playing those games.
You were honestly
one of the better analysts just covering the team. Like, you were on your A game. No, the Heat.
Not the Heat. Well, I mean, the playoff run was really fun. And this team
was
like...
awesome. It's time to cover the team. And I wish we could do that again this year. And I just... Look, I don't know what it's gonna take. Like, I'm hoping that they'll just magically turn on that switch like they did in that Jazz game, because that's what they need in order to get back to like the second round, I think, even. Because their first round opponent, more than likely or not, is gonna be very tough. Like, it's right now, I think
if they get to five, they get to play the Knicks, right? The Knicks or the Hawks, I imagine.
That makes me feel a little better because I'd rather play them than play Milwaukee in the first round.
I don't like chat being nice to me. Zach33 says, Jesus, the best Heat podcast host. It's just not true. It's absolutely not true. Yeah, Ramil's really good. Ethan's good. When Leif hosts and Ali, I'm like, that's absolutely not true. Like, get out of here. Dan Healy's really good. Like, fuck that. And chat, you should be mean to me. That's the point. Like, you know, Twitch streamers, their chat bullies them and they bully them. This is not the exchange. We need, somebody says we need G to host the post game show. No, that's Alf's baby. Alf will never let me near that.
G needs a life. He can't do all these shows by himself.
You know, last week, Brian, I didn't have a life. I was doing every fucking show on this podcast because I was dead. Let me tell you, by Friday, when I got my vaccine shot, my second shot, I was like, I'm dying. I can't. I was like, I need a couple days. I was on.
Oh, you were
Friday,
on the pregame show, I think.
No, on Friday, I wasn't on. Okay. I asked for the day off.
How high did your fever end up going? You said it was like 104.
I was 104.2. I was 104.2 fever. I was like probably like an hour. I watched a movie and I kind of felt bad and I was
that,
feeling like
that concerns me.
But I was fine after. Like it was like very brief. I didn't have a good reaction to the first dose either. Like I remember feeling like shit after the first dose, and I was like
technically. Well, I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but I feel like technically the bigger response you get, more immunity you get. But
my mom was like fine. My grandparents were fine. Like everybody in my family was like fine. I'm the only one that fucking fell over on their back after your vaccine dose. But yeah, my fever was higher than the Heat offensive rating.
I saw you tweet. That was funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even a joke. It's true. They're like offense sucks. So there, you know, and like Brian, I kind of like what you said about last season because like how fun it was. Like sports are like this community thing. Mm-hmm. And because we were like still in lockdown, like we were not like really like not like there are like people like legitimately like back integrated into society. There weren't. Right. And I remember I would go for a drive. So, you know, I had a friend here that also did like her and I didn't go anywhere. Like we were he was the only other person I know that like legit didn't go anywhere. Yeah, I still don't. Well, I mean, now I go to work on a job site. Like I don't socialize. Right. Like yeah. I do my job and I come home. And she was the same. She would just stay home. And we would go on drives and we would like do shit like away from people. And I remember driving, seeing a bus like that said, "Yeah, congratulations to the Heat making the NBA Finals." And I was like, huh, that's true. That's a thing. And I just don't feel that was the only time I really felt people in the city giving a shit. But it's probably because like we weren't like out. You know what I mean? Like we couldn't enjoy it as a community.
I mean, neither of us to get a chance to go. But when they did make the finals, they had like a little bit of that, you know, that celebration that they always have on H Street. Banging pots and pans, and that was something that was fun to see. Obviously, it's something that this team or this city as a whole hasn't experienced in sports in quite a while.
It just, I don't know, it feels, and then like this team right now, they feel so disconnected. Yeah. Like, I don't know, I feel like nobody gives a shit about them. Like, people have been so quick to just talk about the Marlins. Chef Trilly, one of our own, one of the best doing it, is like, this Jazz kid is like the king of South Florida right now.
I fucking love him though. No, he's awesome though. Seriously, you need to give him a shot. Like he's super like, fun.
What happened here? I thought we were a Heat town. I thought it was hashtag basketball town. I thought we had guts.
Listen, as soon as they win like their first two playoff games, we'll be back. Cocky Heat fan will be back.
Brian, like if they get the 5 seed and they get like the Knicks or the Hawks.
Oh, they beat the fucking Knicks. Let's put up a banner now. Hold on. If they beat the Knicks in the first round, if they somehow play the Sixers in the second round, beat both of them, just put up a fucking championship banner already.
Who? For the Heat?
For the Heat.
No, fuck that. We're not the Knicks. Like the Knicks.
No. Those are like the two fan bases I want to beat the most of anybody.
The Sixers.
Well, and the Lakers too. I want to
beat the Sixers. I really want to beat the Sixers. That's like the Knicks or whatever. That's small. I'll take a lot of joy in beating the Sixers. But Brian, I kind of want to go through some of my concerns with the team for you, because I've said a little bit of this on Hangover Time and on the locker rooms and on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I haven't really voiced it on the pod yet. And on Sunday, I was thinking, I was like, how do I feel about this team? And this is after Saturday when they had that win that didn't feel like a win.
Yeah.
And I was like, they've had a lot of those. Like this team has a lot of those games where I feel like they, you know, they won, but, you know, I don't feel good about it.
Well, they had they had two 20-point wins, and then now they're back to where they were. So last pod I was on, that was basically that point where they won two straight by like 20 points. They haven't had that. That was like the only time they've had it this year. So yeah, they're back to where they were before.
And chat, I want you to fill me in if I'm missing any kind of moments. The only times I felt like they're legitimately special was when they beat Utah.
Yeah.
Utah playing their best. When they went into LA and beat the Lakers, and I know Anthony Davis didn't play, but that still felt like a big win. Mm-hmm. It was the first rematch that was LeBron at his full MVP status powers, right? I think that was the first or second game that AD missed, and they were still at top of the West. That Blazer game, I don't know if I felt like confident about them, but I thought maybe that might be a turning point. And that game against the Bucks, where when they lost by like 30 or 40 points or whatever the fuck that was, they came back and they fucking beat the living shit out of them, especially in that second half. And Goran specifically, that was without Jimmy, right? So like those are the times that I'm like, this team, I think that there's something there that reminds me of the team that made the finals. And everything else has been total shit. They've been a lot of those games against the Wizards. Remember that one before, like, they went, everybody got COVID, mm-hmm. where they won, and Alf was saying on Hangover Time, it's like, that didn't feel like a win. Shout out to Alf in chat saying a classic MHB, Brian's time to shine. It has been Brian's time to shine.
I still have the imaging somewhere.
Okay, we can go through that later.
I don't have anything prepared, but I can, I don't know.
We'll wing it. Do you agree with me? Like, is there anything else like that I'm missing? Cause like, those are really the only times that I felt like this team's good.
I think to your point, like those are the teams that at the time were, you know, towards the top of their, like, those are good teams. Like those are teams that people were already assuming could be title contenders before the season started. And even more now, I think, like, the Bucks look great. I think they have a good shot at making it out of the East, as well as obviously like the Nets and the Sixers. They're probably the top three teams right now that I would pick before Miami. And then you would obviously put the Lakers up there as soon as LeBron and AD come back. Like, they're going to be good in the playoffs. I would assume that they'll probably make it back to the Western Conference Finals themselves.
Alf's right in chat. He says, Depot's last game started out making you feel like they could be
special.
Yeah,
no, that Warriors game looked great. So, those three teams that they beat that we felt like were great victories, those were against good teams. And there's something that this team has always, like, struggled through the years. It's always SPO teams. Like, they always play up to their competition, and I feel like in the playoffs, like, that's something we could probably see again. Now, could they do it for a whole series? I don't know, but they could definitely do it for a string of games.
Like, also, Sager in chat says, I feel like this team is just not having the same fun that they had last year. And yeah. I've thought about this a lot, and I don't like to, like, attribute, like, having fun equates to winning, but I kind of feel like Alf saying in chat, you know, they're exhausted. And I think that that's a big part of this. Like, the Celtics, the Heat, the Nuggets, the Lakers, they all had deep runs. They've all been really injured teams. I don't need Atlanta Twitter coming into my mentions about how injured they are. Like, this is a condensed season that sucks. And, like, this is such bullshit. The Heat have had, like, the third most lost games to COVID. And they've all been rotational guys, yep. right? Even Casey Okpala was playing, and then they lost him. And then you see how thin on the wing they are when Andre sits, right? Like, when Andre doesn't play, they don't have anybody. And as a result, they had to overplay Andre, and now Andre's hurt. And now when he's missing, when they need wins, they don't have him. So this season has, like, totally fucked everything up. And they just, they don't have that extra juice that they had last season. Another thing
they did for probably about a week and a half when we were doing that whole Jim VP.
Yeah, but those run. Teams sucked, Brian. That was they were beating like the Cavs. I mean,
you
and
saw
the
like
Bulls.
Jimmy like dance on the floor during that Knicks win. There was like there was a couple moments out there. They were celebrating. Obviously, like Bam was obviously doing those photo bomb or video bombs, whatever, and during the post game press.
A lot of
like,
bad teams.
They had a stretch where they look like their old selves, and that was when Jimmy came back. That. Obviously, now they look like they did before Jimmy got back. And now Jimmy's here, and there's nobody else that can really save them besides Goran or Victor Oladipo just coming back and lighting it up.
I'm going to go through that stretch that you're talking about. That's like the 11-1 stretch or whatever. They beat Sacramento, Los Angeles, Oklahoma City, Toronto, Utah. That one's good. They beat Atlanta. Then they lost to Atlanta without Jimmy. Then they beat New Orleans. They beat Orlando. They beat Chicago. They beat Orlando. They beat Cleveland. Those teams suck. And then they lost to Memphis, Indiana, Phoenix, Portland, Charlotte. Most of those are like decent to good teams. Like, that's who they are. They beat these dog shit teams. And then when they have to play Phoenix or Memphis or anybody kind of good, you know, they lose.
Well, they're losing to dog shit teams again. That's the thing. Like, they lost to
because they're broken. They're tired. Everyone's hurt. Yesterday they had, when Duncan got the shits, they didn't have anybody. They had no shooting. They shot like 20% for the game. And that's what the reason is shooting like 4-for-10 or some shit. It's fool's gold. Yeah. That's what Brass said on Hangover Time, that it's fool's gold.
Brass is right.
Brass was right. Holy shit, Brass was right. So that, to me, I'm just like, they have not put together like a legit impressive stretch against good teams.
No, but that would be like the closest that we've seen out of all the season. So I guess my question would be to you, there's 10 games left. What do you predict that they'll finish with these last 10 games?
It's hard because I don't know who they are. Right. And I guess we could
if you had a pick,
they're about like, a 500 team.
OK, which of those games do you think they have a really good shot of winning? I'm assuming the Cleveland and the Spurs games, these next two games, they have a good shot of winning.
Yeah, I mean, the Charlotte game, they're hurt, right? But that's the second night of a back-to-back,
but
and they're
really
thin.
They always lose to Charlotte, though. Like, for some reason, Malik Muncher goes on just
at
goes on
Charlotte,
a tear.
Too. They suck in that building. The Dallas game, Dallas is going to be fighting for their lives.
And Minnesota Charlotte's still game. Fighting for a playoff seed, too. So you're going to get a good Charlotte team that game.
I'm pretty confident in that Minnesota game. I just don't think they're going to lose again. That's just too embarrassing for them. That's a pride thing. I imagine they... I mean, they have two games at Boston. I imagine they split. If they can take both, that's like legitimate.
If they take both, that's for sure. That gives them a very good shot of finishing fifth.
By the way, fuck Adam Silver for scheduling a huge game for 1 o'clock on Mother's Day. Fuck you, Adam Silver. Some of us have families. You know what I mean? Like, what? Fuck you. Like in content creation, I was just like, God, I was like, oh my God. That's horrible. I fucking hate that. I think probably that Detroit game's a win, and then one of those Philly Milwaukee.
Okay, yeah, the Detroit weird. Game for sure is a win. It has to like, be. If they don't win that game, then that's like
they're the team, Brian. That you know they lost to Minnesota when we all thought that was a for sure win. Like we don't know who they
well,
are.
I thought they were gonna win last night too, and yeah,
they can win all these games. They're capable of it, and they could go 4-6. Like we don't, you know, we don't know who they are. Their defense was so good. It's been about 15th since Oladipo went down. Now, I think that's a direct result of playing Kendrick Nunn more minutes because, you know,
I mean, it's not
what's
just, it's not just Kendrick, man. It's the whole
no,
team.
No, it's not just Kendrick, but I do think that it's not coincidence that the second Oladipo's went down and they started Kendrick Nunn, their
yeah,
defense
Victor's
went from
definitely
six,
a better defender,
6th to 15th.
And they're both about equal offensive players at this point. I feel like
I don't know about that.
I like Kendrick. He's been all right, but like he's better off the bench in my opinion. Like if he's your starting point guard,
yeah, he can't start for you.
It's not the worst thing that could happen to this team, but honestly, I would rather have Goran start in the playoffs with Victor if we can.
Oh, I don't think Goran has anything.
But that's the thing. That game, we're not going to get yeah, that Goran, I'm sure. But Goran's if we could get the Goran that we saw in the playoffs last year, that would be a great lineup.
That guy's not walking through that door. What I saw yesterday against Chicago, when they got the matchup they wanted, they got Goran Dragic with Nikola Vucevic on him in space. And Goran took a hard dribble into the paint and could not beat him. Was not confident. Because like at that point, he's sagging off of him. So yeah. Goran also not confident in the pull-up either. So could not beat him, was not confident in the pull-up, and threw up a wild flip shot. And that was like, oh, wow. They're like, done. Like, he's done.
I just think he needs more rest. I think, honestly, from traditional offseason, he has time to actually rehab. I'm sure he'd be all right. Like, I'm not saying he'll be back to where he was in the playoffs.
This season, he's cooked.
But this is almost reminding us what he looked like 2 years before he had that great stretch last year. Because he was pretty dog shit awful when he was hurt 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah, but...
So, I mean, we know what Goran looks when he's healthy, when he's hurt. This is what he is. And there's no time for him to really get healed right now. They're not going to be able to sit him. They need him. They're really thin at guard right now just because everybody's been in and out of the lineups. And shit, I don't even know if Tyler's even healthy. It seems like he's not. Like, I thought maybe he had like a minor injury, but it seems like it could be more.
So something that I think is interesting with Dragic is, so he shot at the rim in 2018. 63%, then it plummeted to 57%. And you're just like, okay,
yeah.
The decline's here, right? And then last season, he went back up to almost 70% finishing. And now he's back to 61%.
See? And what was the difference? He was healthy last year.
Yeah, I mean,
obviously he had the layoff too. That helps. Like, all of that helps. Like, there was a lot of factors that went into the Heat going that far last year. And none of those factors are really going to be in play this year. And one of the biggest things is, like, obviously they had neutral court. They're not going to have home court advantage in any round.
Yeah, Chat's like saying, like, retirement may
be
an option.
Next year.
I don't think he'll retire. I just think the idea, he got his payday.
But now, I don't think, like, he's a starting point guard anymore.
Goran got to play ball because, like, they gave him the favor.
Yeah.
And honestly, this is why... You know, the argument is that guys need to take their multi-year deals because you don't know what's going to change from 1 year to the next, right? Yeah. And Goran got his bag, but, you know, he probably left money on the table because if he had taken a longer-term deal, you know, he probably would have secured a little more. Schmeeden
yeah,
also
but,
says
I mean,
Goran,
at this point of his career, I don't think it's really about money. I think it's more about him you know, liking where, like, the situation is in.
Yeah, money's always nice.
Family is also a really big part of it, too.
They literally traded him in the offseason. They legit, like, family, they literally traded him. And then Mark Cuban's like, take backs. So,
honestly, have we made that trade? Like, let's play devil's advocate. Have they made that trade? Do you think they would have went for Chris Paul?
All reports would indicate that they weren't, like, particularly in on it. And that's not fair, too, because, like, remember, like, they were really married to the idea of cap space, so I don't think they were going to go for it. And we can sit here and play, like, you know, after the fact.
Only saying this because I know for sure they would have had a first-round pick back, because that whole deal basically didn't include the first-round pick they ended up giving to the Clippers.
Because they had to unload Harkless, yeah.
So they would have had some assets that they could use to go after somebody. I'm not saying it had to be Chris Paul, but obviously he was, like, the most obvious person at the time that they could have gone after. And if you traded Dragic, you're definitely in need of a point guard.
I love this person's name. Doe Glizzy in chat says, do you think Jimmy will start looking at the Knicks if we suck next year? Absolutely not. Fuck out of here. What are they going to do? At best, losing the second round. Fuck out of here. I'm celebrating that shit. I haven't been to a conference finals.
Like, that team's nice, but I don't think they're going anywhere in the playoffs.
And by the way, like, Randall went from shooting 14% on pull-up threes to 41% on pull-up threes. I would like to see what that looks next year. And in the playoffs, for that matter.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I like to see RJ Barrett actually, like, perform in the playoffs.
He's been pretty good. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of question marks on that team. I mean, again, we say this, you know, watching the Heat, you know, totally stink it up from night to night.
Right now, I'm like, I want to believe, like, I really do. I got to see some more, like, confidence in his team just with these next few games. Like, they look like a team that doesn't believe in themselves right now. That's what's concerning.
Do you believe in them? Because I don't. Too concerned.
I was, like, a week ago. I felt like they were turning a corner. And
I keep thinking they're turning a corner. It's just a roller coaster, man.
Like,
I stopped thinking they're turning a corner. Schmied and Smolnik in chat says, remember when most of Heat Twitter wanted Quickly over Precious? Yeah, we got that one right. Listen.
That's good. I mean, how much better would he have been on this?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Team now, that's the thing. Like, Tyrese would have been nice. He would have been nice,
they needed a guard.
But they need somebody better than those guys. They need a really good veteran guard.
No, they would have needed a guard to eat minutes so that Goran doesn't.
Okay, but
I feel like
a veteran guard would make more sense on his team than another rookie.
They got Bradley, but that dude couldn't stay healthy.
Well, he was good when he played.
He was, but he was always hurt, and that's his MO. And that's what Jack always says. Which I always hate that argument, but I mean, he's right. I mean, you have to be available, and he's never available.
Kyle would have been nice.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with 2-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, That's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to roman.com/heatbeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
I want to read to you this stat, Brian, because to me, I think this is one of the most telling things of the season. The Heat, when Jimmy Butler is sitting on the bench, they're -6 net rating. When he plays, they're +5 net rating. Last season, they were +5 net rating when he played and -0.3 when he sat.
Ouch.
They were surviving when he was on the bench. And this season, they're getting blasted by more than he produces.
That's not good.
And he can't. He's always playing catch up, right? Yesterday was a good example. I tweeted it. I go, the Heat have a 6-point lead and Butler went to the bench. What is this going to look like when he comes back in? And they were, what, I think it was a 2 or 3 point lead at that point. And they were holding on by the skin of their teeth. That's kind of the season right there. Like, they can't function without him. Part of that is Dragic has no zip. He can't run an offense anymore. Tyler has just disappeared as like an elite shooter. And
his playmaking hasn't been that better either. Like, he can't get separation off the dribble without a screen. That's a giant concern.
His passing hasn't taken a leap in the way that I think you kind of hope.
His passing was better in the bubble, that's for sure.
The spacing was also better, so I will give him
he
that.
He had but way like, less I, turnovers. He had way. I mean, but the Lakers series, remove that. He did perform a lot better in terms of playmaking.
That's fair.
And like just his turnover efficiency.
I think that's mostly there though. For me, what I'm concerned is like he'll run little two man game with Bam on the side, and he'll miss windows for that pocket pass. And that is like the thing that and I love when they show the replay on those plays because he misses it like a second late and the league is quick. Mm-hmm. And when you miss those, when that second guy comes and you miss that window, it's done. Because at that point, you don't flow into that pass. Now you got to reset and run something else. Yep. And that just kills your momentum and you have no time left on the clock. So he'll work on that. I have no doubt. I mean, he's not as bad as like we think. He's like about a 35% three-point shooter this year. He's really gotten that number up. It was like in the 20s.
That's on volume too, so it's not like terrible, but he was a better shooter in college and he was a better shooter last year. That's the only thing. Like his reputation entering the draft was being an elite shooter, and the 35%, even on that volume, is still average.
He's shooting almost 50% from two, which is encouraging. 15 points a game. His finishing is not horrible, you know, considering his size and his limitations. So you know, there's stuff there. What is he shooting?
It's the defensive end too. That's his offensive firepower output, whatever you want to call it. It's not balancing out what he's contributing on the defense.
No, of course not. Of course not.
Unlike
they need
year.
Him. I think they probably they're more likely to get something out of him more than Dragic
in the playoffs.
Yeah, because Dragic just looks cooked, right? Like, you need Tyler. And like the thing with Kendrick is this is as good as Kendrick gets, right? Elite spot up guy.
Yeah.
Pull up artist. Not going to give you much playmaking. Not going to give you much rim pressure. He is a good open court player, and I do think that he gives that little bit of explosiveness to their full court stuff, and he does run the floor really, really well. He really gets behind the defense. He's a quick, quick guy. But, you know, in their half-court offense, other than a spot-up shooter and a guy that will kind of navigate screens and then take a pull-up, that's like really his value on offense. And that's really helpful, and there are certain matchups that is going to be critical. And as you saw against the Lakers,
they needed that last year in the playoffs. They needed another guard like him. Off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, to credit him, I mean, when he came in the Lakers season where the Lakers play a drop, you know, he was playing really well, right? Against the Celtics, when they switch a lot, he was not, because that's going to be hard for him. He's a small guard that can't get to the rim.
And then the Bucks series, too, he didn't really play that much.
He wasn't really playing. But that is just like the dude didn't play forever. And that's kind of, and COVID.
COVID, all that stuff factoring in, yeah.
Tyler, at his high end, can get to more spots on the floor a lot easier. He has a little bit more in the bag offensively. He can get to the rim a little bit better. He is a much better finisher. He has kind of a couple moves at the rim. He's a bit of a better playmaker, even though we just kind of slandered his playmaking.
Look, he's not a bad playmaker. He's not showing what he was showing. Like, he was showing a lot of promise. And like, it basically was like new skills that he wasn't showing before the bubble last year. And I you would figure that he could build off of that entering this season. And we don't feel like he's improved much on that end, is what I feel like.
He's, and like, they just,
that's the thing. Like, a lot of this team has regressed. They haven't really gotten better outside of Bam.
Maybe Jimmy. I think Jimmy's gotten better.
Like, Jimmy's been more efficient this year than he was last year in the regular season. Duncan, I feel like, has expanded his game a bit, but even then, like, Duncan was still a better shooter last year than he is this year.
I think Tyler's improved in some areas, but not the ones you need most.
Yeah. No, the ones that this team really needs, yeah.
His in-between game is a lot better. His finishing is better, and his in-between game is a lot better. And I think once he puts the shooting on top, it's going to look a lot different, because that's really important for him, because mm-hmm. I think he really needs to leverage that threat of a jump shot to really create space. And if he doesn't have that, he's not athletic enough to get there. And that's just it. And Nunn, unfortunately, just doesn't have the handle that Tyler does, and doesn't have kind of that kind of slithery kind of knack for moving around pick and roll and kind of working the angles. But they're both good at different things. But Nunn has been, I want to give credit to Nunn. He's been really, really good for them.
And to another point, like, they trust Tyler more in the fourth quarters. So, like, in terms of closing games, they need Tyler.
Not anymore, though. Nunn's gotten the last couple.
I know. But when Tyler's back, he's healthy, we're going to see more Tyler closing. There's a couple questions in the chat I want to get to.
Let's go. What do we got?
So, first question is, we're looking forward to Kyle Jimmy Ban next season. I am too. Did you listen to this interview that Jimmy had on his podcast that came out today? I can't remember the name of the podcast, but he basically was talking about how Kyle Lowry is, he has a daughter now, Jimmy. Obviously, we know he's a dad. Apparently, Kyle Lowry is that daughter's godfather.
I actually have the audio for that.
You do?
I can play that for you guys. It's something that I thought was funny. And I was happy about it because, you know, we all know that I'm the Kyle Lowry guy. So let's play that sound. So this is from what podcast is this? This is from the Kane, the Artist and Athlete podcast.
What's your favorite person to go against?
Probably Kyle Lowry, just because, like, he's one of my absolute best friends. He's the godfather of my daughter. And it's just like, as competitive as it is, we're always laughing. We're always, you know, joking around. I would say something else, but then the NBA gonna look at this and be like, oh my God, he's tampering. So I'm just gonna leave it.
So listen, Dwayne Wade was a recruiter. Jimmy following in those illustrious footsteps. Kyle has been, I don't want to say he's mailing it in, but he's not, there's a lack of urgency, I will say right now, for him. Watching him play. I've watched him play a bit. I watch a lot of Raptors games, and you kind of tell that, you know, he's in cruise control. Sometimes he's not, but, you know, he's cruising. He's cruising. So I still think he's really good. He can help their team a lot. I don't want to talk too much about I do, Brian, I'm really glad that you brought that up because I do think it's important, and he's obviously going to be a target for them. But as it pertains to their current season, like, they're kind of stuck with what they got.
I know. But obviously, Chad's still having fun because obviously that ties into this next question from JedX Phil. And he says, is Lowry being godfather Jimmy's child confirmed Lowry to Miami? And I say yes. All right, next question. They're asking, is it possible to bring Duncan?
Who's asking?
I just skipped it. Hold on. I need to go back.
We gotta give love to the people in our chat. We gotta give love.
All right, Sagar. Ooh, that's a tough one. Sagar Velalaf 11 asks, can we retain Duncan and Depot and then sign Lowry? Can it be done? Yes. Is it hard to do under the cap? Yes. It probably would require a sign and trade for Lowry's contract.
They can't do Depot. Depot's.
They would have to bring, like, they could, they would have to renounce Depot.
Yeah,
I think.
He would have to come back.
Have him try to sign to, obviously, his cap holds way greater than the contract he's going to end up signing next year. I don't think they could fit Lowry into the cap space unless he takes a massive discount. So that's why my next thing is either he takes.
No, they'll have the cap space.
They can have some cap space. I don't know if they'll
They'll have more than $25 million for sure.
But that's the thing. How much of it are you going to be able to split up between Victor and Lowry? Will they both take 12 and a half each? Will one take 15, one take 10?
If you renounce Depot, you take Lowry in with the 25. You re-sign Duncan with bird rights.
Yeah. Right? Duncan for sure is coming back no matter what.
And you give Depot an MLE or something. And that's how you would do it.
You could do that, or we can also do a sign trade if you want to give him a little bit more. But you still have to stay under the hard cap.
Lowry, I mean, for Kyle, the thing was 25 million. Oh, you're saying give Depot a little more.
Yeah, we give Deepa the 1 year, and then you bring in Kyle as a sign.
I don't know if they'd want to. I thought Ethan from Five Reasons said something interesting on Twitter today, and somebody asked him about like Deepa. When is Deepa going to come back? And it was something to the effect of that's his decision, right? Yep. Which kind of it. And I know that there's been insinuated that it's some sort of pain tolerance thing. So I the Heat have historically not liked guys that don't have a lot of pain tolerance. So I don't really know how they feel about this right now.
Honestly, if I had to put money on it, I think they would definitely rather sign Lowry to a 1 or 2 year deal than give Oladipo a 4 year deal.
I think so too. I think they'd rather give Lowry.
And I mean,
if you give Lowry a 2 year deal, that expires when Jimmy's contract expires. And mm-hmm. I think that's you're halfway through Bam's contract. You know, you'll know a lot more about Jimmy. And I think if you have those two big contracts off your books at that time, you know, it's a way to do a reset. It's a way to figure things out. I like it for them. I think it makes sense. That was one of my big things with Harrison Barnes. So I was like, Harrison Barnes' contract expires when Jimmy's does. So, you know, you're pretty much committing money up until your max guy expires, and then you can make the decisions on how you feel about your team. You're not overcommitting. So I like that for them.
The only thing I like about bringing back Oladipo is that's a sizable contract that you could trade. And look, as much as I know Oladipo's injury history and all that stuff, like he's been traded for a lot of trade, like star packages, like for star players, like he's been a piece that has been moved around a lot for the bigger star. So I don't mind bringing him back. Just can't be on a super big contract like he's probably going to want. But I don't think he's going to be able to get it on the open market. Not next year, at least. Another question in chat is asking, do you think the Miami Heat were forcing Tyler to close games to see what they had in him? Kind of like what they did with Josh Richardson before they had traded him. And that's from Zach_33.
No, I think Spo's just historically liked extra ball handling on the court. And that's just kind of how he's always been.
Well, I think also has to do with Tyler's like just his attitude on the court, like especially in the end of games, like he has that closer mentality. Like he's shown it in the playoffs. He's shown it in college. Like he's not afraid to take the shot at the end of games. So they need players like that at the end of games to give them relief baskets when they need them. And that's what this team has basically missed all year. They haven't had those relief baskets like they have with Goran in the playoffs. Like when Jimmy and Bam were sitting, they had somebody that came in to give them some relief baskets. They haven't really had much of that this year.
Deadman has done that a little bit, but I mean, a lot of that's like offensive rebound nonsense. Yeah. Right. And I think Deadman's great.
Oh, Deadman's been a great backup center. I love to bring him back.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that seems like classic. Someone's going to overpay him and then he's going to be bad again. I've seen this story with Dwayne Deadman before. He's really good though. I hope he stays. I really do. He's been good. And the memes that we've, listen, Dwayne Dedman has been a content machine for Miami Heat. He better not leave. I like Brass's question.
Yeah, Brass is asking, is Pat Riley gonna fail Jimmy Butler again?
I think he hasn't. He got him Depot and he got him Dedman walking. And you can't complain. That's a great, and fucking Trevor Ariza. They traded a fucking racist
dude. I think Pat did all
a second round pick.
Pat did way Olenek. More than he probably could have this year trying to bring pieces to fix this team. It's not his fault that these players are getting fucking hurt. That's not his fault.
And COVID.
Goddamn. And honestly, it's more on the players than anybody else. They're the ones that are not performing to what they had, you know, last year. They're not shooting the way they shot last year. And
the Heat added.
And that makes it hard on Spo because he doesn't know who to fucking trust anymore in these rotations.
Can we close the show with that? Because I've seen a lot of people. Ariza's comments at the end of the game fucking piss me off. When he's like talking about we're predictable and where those.
Of course they are. He has to fucking dumb the fucking offense now because nobody can shoot. Their motion offense is barely a motion offense anymore. They're just swinging around the 3-point line and then just jacking up threes. Nobody can drive and kick anymore besides Jimmy.
Like, literally, like, how, what do they, like, people complain about the dribble handoffs. And I was like, okay, I understand. And by the way, they do far less dribble handoffs than they did in January. The dribble handoffs have gone down every single month. So if you're not going to, if you're not going to create, because what a dribble handoff does, you do a couple things. You isolate actions. So when Bam and Duncan run a dribble handoff, who's involved in that play is a big and Duncan's man. Because what they'll do is they'll clear out that side, or they'll have a guy like Ariza standing in that far corner, because they'll run this at the top of the wing. And your defense, nobody's going to help off that. What are you going to do? Because Duncan's not going to drive. Sometimes he does, but for the most part, he's not going to drive. And you're not going to send a double from the side on that shooter, because he's just going to jack that up. So unless you're splitting that difference, and then that's bad, because you're leaving a guy in the corner wide open and you're just going to hit that swing pass. So a dribble handoff really isolates an offensive set. And what it does is it really masks limitations, because Duncan can't dribble, right? So Duncan can't run pick and roll. So what he does is he uses a handoff to reset and to move so he doesn't have to dribble. And that's how they were running offense for a long time with Wayne Ellington with him, because they just did not have enough dudes to get into the teeth of the defense.
Yep.
It's not worked because teams switch it, and it's tough because when you switch that action and Bam's not this elite post player like Jokic, right? Because when the Nuggets run dribble handoff, nobody complains about that, right? Because they have a big who can punish dudes in the post. And when a guy flies off that dribble handoff, he can go to the rim, right? So Michael Porter, or when Jamal Murray run that two-man game with Jokic, they're a threat to, Jokic is a threat to pop and shoot, and Jamal Murray and Michael Porter are a threat to get to the rim and the basket, get fouled, create help, all that stuff, right? So to understand like what Miami's limitations are, you need to be like, they don't have dudes that can come off that handoff or that can come off a pick and get to the defense. So when you don't have that element of getting from up to the top of the key into the paint, you got to be like, well, how can we score? Well, the Heat, what they've done is they goof side to side. They go east-west, and they run a bunch of cross screens, and they run a bunch of handoffs, and they run a bunch of pin downs, because these dudes can't dribble. So what they do is they fly off motion, and they get the ball in spots that they think that they can be effective. And when dudes don't hit shots, and nobody can dribble into the paint, what the fuck can you do? And when you're injured, because they don't have any guards, right? And it's poor Gabe Vincent, who's a G Leaguer, right? Who tries really hard on defense. But, you know, what can you do? And then when you get the opportunity to get to the rim, Goran can't beat Nick Vucevic and drop. And then it, again, all relies on Jimmy do something. And what teams do, they just fucking pack the paint. And that's why Jimmy was taking a million pull-ups yesterday. So I don't really see what complaints you can, because they've tried stuff. They've tried stuff on offense. They've done a lot more pick and roll. They've incorporated a lot more horns into their offense, where you have kind of two guys screening up top for the ball handler. One guy pops, another guy rolls. They've used Jimmy as a screener there, which has been really effective. They clear out one side. Jimmy will come set that left screen. He'll kind of roll, come up, slip, roll. They've tried stuff in the offense. Jimmy's been a screener tons. They have Jimmy off the ball. They're doing a lot of Jimmy in the post, kick out to Bam. They're doing a lot of Jimmy, Bam, high, low in the elbow. They've done a lot of different stuff, but you're ultimately limited and capped by their lack of kind of downhill rim presence.
And lack of shooting from the perimeter. Like, if they're not making their shots, those are less people that they have to close out on. Like, even Tyler lately hasn't had like as much gravity as he used to. It's really just Duncan.
And I think Trevor's kind of getting to the point where defenses are really paying attention to him. Which is, and Trevor's been good, because Trevor will kind of get into the paint and stuff like that, and Duncan too.
Yeah, but it's the spacing. They have no spacing right now.
On defense, they've changed a ton, because earlier in the season, they were a switch-heavy team. And what did they do? They started incorporating some traps. They're like, let's get some turnovers, let's create some easy offense, let's trap, and it's worked. It worked. And then teams started to figure that out, and then they're like, okay, let's incorporate a little bit of drop. And yesterday, Spo went to two bigs. They played Bealizia and Bam together. They're like, let's drop Bam, let's drop Bealizia, let's play a little high-low on offense, let's have Bealizia going to the rim. For me, it's like, you're not watching the games if you're just like Spo's doing the same shit, because they're not. They're running completely
everybody's
different
just watching
actions.
Bam switch onto a guard, and they think, oh, why is he switching off the big to the guard when he doesn't have to? And sure, there's cases where that is like true, but like, they don't have any perimeter defenders outside of him right now. When Oladipo was playing, that's when their defense looked legit, like a top five defensive team in the league. They need him back. Just for the defense alone, they need him back in the playoffs.
I thought yesterday the drop wasn't good. Like, I didn't like it in drop.
No, I mean, that's the thing. It's a scheme that they haven't ran much this year, and they look clunky at it because that's not what they run. They run
their zone.
They run a lot more zone. And even the zone this year hasn't looked that great. And it might be just because of the personnel that's out there. I don't know.
I think it doesn't work without Andre.
Yeah.
I think that when they run it with, I would like to look at numbers, but to me, like just the eye test, I don't like it without Andre because they don't have a guy that I think.
Well, Andre's they ran a lot of it with Derek Jones last year, and that seemed to work pretty well with him in the lineup.
But Derek and Myers had like arms.
Yeah.
Right. And they don't have dudes with
KZ,
arms.
But KZ doesn't look, he looks so lost sometimes on defense. And
they don't run the same kind of zone that they did. Now they, you know, they don't have the guards in the back, bigs in the front type thing. Yeah, now they run a little bit.
And look, I feel like in the playoffs, I'm sure Spo will get very creative and start doing some new things that we haven't seen this year. And that's something that coaches do. Like they try to look, they don't want to show everything on film right now and entering the playoffs. That's something that they like to save, you know, as they enter certain matchups. So I'm sure if they play Boston again, there's certain things that they'll probably pull out that they did last year. And I'm sure there's new concepts that they could pull out too. Now, how good will they be at executing them? That's the question. If they can't hit their shots from the perimeter, their offense is going to look bad no matter what they do.
Okay, so I have a couple things I want to get to before we go because we're really running on time here. So Zach 33 says, I think Bam is a ball handler and the pick and roll is something I want to explore more. I agree. That requires your cooperation from Bam. And now they've done, and again, credit to Spoelstra. What they've done is they have Duncan come up and screen for Bam, and that is unstoppable.
Yep.
Because Duncan, that guy is stapled to him. So when Duncan screens and flares, and when they play in space, there's nothing you can do as a defense. Now, they've run sets where they have Duncan come screen for him, and Bam doesn't like the angles, and then waits for Duncan to curl back for a handoff. They have had possessions where somebody else said, Heat Expert says, Bam ISO off the dribble is unstoppable and needs to be a bigger part of their offense. I agree, which is why the Heat have run sets to get Bam isolated. And then Bam goes out for a dribble handoff. So there's a push-pull. I think Bam's been a little better since the Minnesota game at kind of looking for that, being more aggressive, kind of posting up, facing up, doing that stuff. But that is 100%. Eric Spoelstra has tried to force that. And if you don't have buy-in from your guy because he's not confident enough, as a coach, there's nothing you can do. So I understand that maybe we don't like some of the stuff Spo's doing. I think some of the rotational things don't make a lot of sense sometimes. I get that. The Spotations, whatever. Dude, no, like, there's no excuses. You got to beat the fucking Bulls, and there's not much else this guy can do schematically. I think that he's getting, this is not a Spo problem. It's they can't get to the rim and shoot problem.
It's a personnel problem. And I'm sure they'd be better once some of these guys are hurt or back and healthy again. If they can even get back and healthy by the time the playoffs come. That's the thing.
Zach is saying that he runs Bam, Duncan, pick and pops in 2K and he won the finals. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, that'll do it. Let's that's effective. I like that. Remember, guys, Spo invented inverted offense. You know what I mean? Like, you're preaching to the fucking choir. You're telling the guy who invented that shit to start doing it. We're having Mario Chalmers scream for LeBron and pick and roll. Using guards to screen and horns and then bigs off ping downs. Come on. It's fucking Spo invented that shit. You think he doesn't know?
Look, Dwayne Wade's not walking through that door.
He's not. Smith this morning said earlier that fucking Goran can't even walk through a door.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.